Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. I'm so glad it's still Easter. I'm so glad to see you all here tonight to worship. We're following the pink service order under the title of Helped, based on the gospel lesson. Just a reminder that when you see a number sign or a note, musical note, that refers to Lutheran service book in front of you. We're going to begin with hymn number 482. Please stand.
This joyful Easter tide, away with sin and sorrow. My love, the crucified, has sprung to life this morrow. Had Christ, who once was slain, not burst his three-day prison, our faith had been in vain. But now has Christ arisen, arisen, arisen. But now has Christ arisen. Death's flood has lost its chill since Jesus crossed the river. Lover of souls from ill, my passing soul deliver. Had Christ, who once was slain, not burst his three-day prison, our faith had been in vain. But now has Christ arisen, arisen, arisen. But now has Christ arisen. My flesh in hope shall from east to west, shall wake the dead in number. Had Christ, who once was slain, not burst his three-day prison, our faith had been in vain. But now has Christ arisen, 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 has Christ arisen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. Beloved of God, Jesus said, "I will be with you always." Let us take him at his word and come into his presence, sharing our great need of him, as we confess our sins and ask for forgiveness. Together we say, I confess to Almighty God all my sins with which I have offended you, especially the sin of trying to go it alone without you. On my own, I am weak, and sin so easily makes me forget your word and will for my life. I have sinned in many ways by evil thoughts, words, and deeds. Because of your merciful death on the cross and in the power of your resurrection from the dead, let me hear from you the words of your grace and forgiveness and new life. Amen. In keeping with his promise, the Lord sends another helper, the Holy Spirit, to deliver his own words of forgiveness. So now, as a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Alleluia. Amen. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth, and it stands fast. By your appointment they stand this day, for all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. To God on high be glory and peace to all the earth. Goodwill from God in heaven proclaimed at Jesus' birth. We praise and bless you, Father, your holy name we sing. Our thanks for your great glory, Lord God, our heavenly King. To you, O soul begotten, the Father, Son, we pray. O Lamb of God, our Savior, you take our sins away. Have mercy on us, Jesus, receive our heartfelt cry. Where you in power are seated, at God's right hand on high. For you alone are holy, you only are the Lord. Forever and forever be worshipped and adored. You come to us, Spirit of Christ, and teach us the way, the truth, and the life. Help us to keep your holy commandments and to love you with our whole heart and our neighbor as ourselves. For you live and reign with the Father and the Son, one God, now and forever. Alleluia. Amen.
First reading this evening is from Acts 17th chapter, verses 16 through 31. Now while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons. and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him. And some said, "What does this babbler wish to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities, because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting, for you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean." Now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, far. In him we live and move and have our being, as even some of our own poets have said, 'For we are indeed his offspring.' Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Christ has risen from the dead.
God the Father has crowned him with glory and honor.
He has given him dominion over the works of his hands.
He has put all things under his feet.
The epistle reading this evening is from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 22. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteousness for the unrighteousness, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers, having been subjected to him. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. At this time, I would invite the children to come forward for some good news. I brought something to keep you warm. You have any? Are you cold?
No.
Do you have any idea why I brought this tonight? Do you know what it's called?
A blanket.
A blanket or a quilt, or I want to call it a comforter, because in the lesson we just heard from the Holy Gospel, Jesus is about ready to go to heaven, and of course his friends are a little worried how they will still stay warm, not just in their bodies, but in their hearts. And Jesus said, I will send you a, do you remember what it was? Starts with H. Can you do everything by yourself, or do you need, starts with H, help or a helper? Thank you over there. And so God says he's going to send us a helper. We call it the Holy Spirit. And actually, the word there for helper can be translated comforter. So I brought a comforter. And not maybe now because it's a little warmer, but in the winter when I'm at home, I really love to put on this comforter. And you know how you feel, you're really cold and you get all warm. And God reminds us that he keeps us warm through the Holy Spirit. And what does a blanket do besides keep us warm? Do you remember the comic strip Snoopy? You guys are too young. Remember Charlie Brown and Lucy? And do you remember Linus? No? Linus had what we called a security blanket. And he always took a blanket around with him. And it made him feel better. And I like that, because it reminds me that if we remember that the Holy Spirit's always in us, as the gospel lesson said, things are going to be okay, right? He reminds us that Jesus loves us no matter what, and we don't need anything else other than that, right? I want to show you the other side of this quilt. When I first became a pastor, the church I served in Minnesota, the ladies made a quilt for me, and so their names on are all the blocks. So I think that makes me feel good, not just because it keeps me warm, but I get to remember all those ladies who showed me God's love. And God has your name written on his heart. So everything's okay, right? You need it to keep it warm the rest of the service. You're okay? Okay. Thanks for coming up. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. A man was changing churches, and he was going from a church that practiced baptism by sprinkling, like we do here at St. Mark's, but the church he was going to practiced baptism by full immersion. You had to go down to the river and get dunked. So one of the first things he asked his new pastor when he got there was if his baptism was good enough from his former church. And the pastor, when he found out he was only baptized by sprinkling, said, no, that's not good enough. You need to be dunked. And the man said, but I was always taught, as long as you're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit with water for the forgiveness of your sins, that's good enough. That's a baptism. And he said, oh, no, that's not good enough. You've only been dry cleaned, not baptized. I read that story as I was preparing the sermon this week based on the epistle lesson from 1 Peter. And I'm going to try to be positive today, but as I think about baptism and also God's other great gift to us, Holy Communion, how many wars have been fought over those? If my dad was God, when he gave us 6 kids gifts and we began to fight over them, sometimes he'd say, here I go to all this effort to give you a nice gift and fight over it. I think I'm going to take it away. I'm surprised God hasn't taken away those gifts of baptism and the Lord's Supper. Well-intentioned though we might be, we oftentimes miss the mark. And by the way, I like to start by saying that the word baptism implies water applied, not mode, but just that water is applied. So whether you're fully immersed or sprinkled, it's enough. As I tell the children when I teach this, oh, you baptized your body this morning in the shower, right?
You baptized your throat with milk this morning, right? You baptized the dishes. And that's why I like this text, and that's why I chose to preach on baptism out of this text, because it gives us a wider picture of what baptism really is. But before I get there, I want to go, it's the first, second full paragraph on page 5 from 1 Peter chapter 3, because there's a reference there that's significant. And I was just asked a question about it the other day. If I decided and I told you tonight that we weren't going to do the Apostles' Creed because the part he descended into hell isn't in the Bible, I imagine some of you might have some things to say to me about that. But there's only one reference from which we get he descended into hell from the Bible, and here it is. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he, and here it is, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison. That is the verse from which we get he descended into hell. The only verse that I'm aware of, unless my teachers taught me wrong and I didn't learn anything since then, that talks about Christ descending into hell. And notice it says he went to preach to the spirits who were in prison. It's not hell. What do you think he said to him? I like the pastor, he said, nanner, nanner, nanner. Or what did Jesus do when he descended into hell? He picked up the keys. The word there for prison is actually a word that means to guard or to keep captive or to keep imprisoned. Just a trivia fact, in fact, in case somebody ever asked you, it was during the accessible worship and somebody asked me that question, hey pastor, where do we get he descended into hell in the creed? I said, 1 Peter 3:18. They said, how do you know that? I don't know. Now let's get to baptism. And the context here is, you all know that story well, right? Noah and the flood. Talks about baptism not just as a rite that happened at a font once, but a daily occurrence. I quoted the passage when I was in the hospital this afternoon in Sparta. Lillian Alberta Schroeder is breathing her last. And when we talked about baptism, we talked about Romans chapter 6, verses 4 through 5, which will be read at her funeral. We already did some funeral planning. Daily be drowned in your sins. And daily arise. Not just a one-time event, but we're baptized daily with the water of God's forgiveness. And so here is the context. They formally did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, 8 persons, were brought safely through the water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. I thought Christ's death on the cross saved me. You all might know from your catechism instruction, Mark 16:16, whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. But do you remember the last part of the verse? Whoever does not believe will not be saved. Baptism is not necessary for salvation. God doesn't need it, but we need it, right? How many parents have come to me? How many grandparents have come to me? Their children or their grandchildren aren't baptized. By the way, we get to do an adult baptism tomorrow. It's going to be so exciting. And he actually went through the 40-week indoctrination course from the pastor, which he didn't have to do. But he takes it seriously. We're saved, and this is why I like this text. Baptism is not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and power, having been subjected to him. I want to preach to you in four parts today. The sermon outline is before you. And when I thought about this text, I thought of the movie Gone with the Wind. You might remember it. The fire of Atlanta is raging, and there's a baby to be born. And Prissy, remember Prissy? Who's responsible and is about ready to help with the baby being born, said, "I don't know anything about, nothing about birthing babies." And she gets all out of whack, and Scarlett slaps her across the face. And so also, we say before God, we don't know nothing about birthing babies, but He does. And that's the context for the four points I have here today. This is another fight, and this is why I like being in the church I'm in, because we practice infant baptism. Before a baby can do anything, think for itself, do good things, we say, God loves you just as much as the rest of us, who kind of sort of can think for ourselves and kind of sort of can do good things. And so we dip you in the font or sprinkle you and declare that. The Bible passages we use to include infants. In fact, sometimes when I'm talking with people about what they call believer's baptism, we wait until people can make that decision for themselves. And my response is, do you wait and send your child to school until they can decide they want to do that? Do you wait and let them brush their teeth or eat right foods until they can decide that that's the right thing to do? How can we let them, not let them do that? And the most important thing, their spiritual salvation, make that decision for them. The Bible passages, Matthew 28, 19 through 20, I think most of you know this also. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The word there for nations is the word gentes in the Latin. We get the word generations. All people get baptized, not just those who believe. And if you have a doubt on that passage, I like Acts 2, verses 38 through 39 reinforces it. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. I think that means babies too, right? But just in case you have a doubt. In the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And here it is. The promise is for you and your children. Number two, Jesus especially invites little children to come to Him. That's not so surprising in our age. Children who are born today are treated a lot better than I was when I was a little kid. And I was treated a lot better than my parents were when they were little kids, and so forth and so on, because when this was written, children were good for one thing, right? Children should be seen. That's in the Bible. No, I don't think that's in the Bible, but we all know it. Children should be seen and not heard. They had children for the primary purpose of helping them keep the family farm going. You needed a lot of hands back there. Children and women, by the way, don't listen to this. We're chattel, as we say, property. Not that important. The men were what was important. So you can imagine the context here is Luke chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. True man, Jesus, was out doing his job, and people were bringing children to him, and his disciples said, we kind of say that too nowadays, right? If I'm talking to Charlotte and Jacob Krause comes up to me, I say, excuse me, Charlotte, more important person than you? And if I'm talking to Jacob Krause and Charlotte comes and taps me on the shoulder, I say, ooh, excuse me, yes, Charlotte. Same thing happened back then. And Jesus sets the disciple on their not-so-German keisters and says, here's the whole context. People were also bringing babies. And the word there, I looked it up, is not just infants, but embryos. I'm not going to get into it today, but that's kind of significant. Embryos, pre-born babies. Jesus may have laid his hands on mothers' tummies and blessed the children, because the text goes on. People were bringing embryos to Jesus to have him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children, and there is the word pedagogos, which means we get pediatric from it. The children who were outside of the womb, so he's including all children here. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." And one of my favorite verses of the Bible follows, "I tell you the truth, unless you receive the kingdom of God like a little child, you will not enter it." Stop acting so grown up, grown-ups. As one pastor preached, there will be no adults in heaven. All spiritual children who admit, "I can't do it all by myself," as the Sesame Street song taught while I was growing up, "I can do it all by myself." No, you can't. Number three, as sinners, babies need what baptism offers. We say it, don't we? We see a newborn baby, and to be sure, it's a miracle of God. Hensley Jean is here today, and she's still in that innocent little stage, isn't she? We look at her and say, "Oh, she's so beautiful," and she is. But if I recall her a sinner, like a pastor called my young daughter once when she was running around the gym during Bible study, and he looked over at her and he said, "That's original sin." I took it better than Julie did. But we remember, sin, by its definition, is just simply to miss the mark. We'd never do it, but if we laid Hensley Jean on the sidewalk after worship and we forbade anyone from ever coming up to her again and helping her, she'd be dead, right? That's what sin means. So much more spiritually. John 3, verses 5 through 6. And by the way, ask Bryce and Jody if during the night when Hensley wakes them up and wants to eat and gets all of her needs met and still cries, if they don't say, "Oh, she's so innocent." We've all gone through that, right? No one can enter the kingdom of God unless she is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. And then Ephesians 2:3, like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. So much for the bad part of the sermon. I want to close with point four, babies possess faith. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 6, Jesus says, first of all, the disciples come to Jesus and they say, "Who among us is the greatest?" I think Jesus must have wanted to slap them, just like Prissy got slapped in the movie. Who among us is the greatest? Is that a question that we Christians ask? But Jesus was patient with them, and he goes on to say, if anyone, who is the greatest in the kingdom of God? Those who receive the kingdom like a little child. If anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and be drowned into the depths of the sea. Aren't you glad Jesus wasn't your pastor at times like that? Again, he reminds them and he reminds all of us that we are baptized, our conscience is clear, not humanly speaking, because God, who is our ultimate conscience, declares us loved. I attended a workshop at St. Louis University on Thursday on Martin Luther's hermeneutics, translation, Bible interpretation, and it was convicted to me again, if Martin Luther would not be on the clergy roster of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, without question. He is pretty radical. Anyway, I was roaming the halls on one of the breaks, And I came across this sign that was posted on one of the professor's door. I always love it when I'm not looking for a sermon illustration and it hits me whack in the face. And I think this is what God means when he's talking about baptism. Again, not just a once in a lifetime act that happened at a font, as wonderful as that is, but a daily drowning in our sins. And I did my research after I got home, because it didn't say who wrote this or where it was from. It was written by Julie, age 8, who lives in Washington, D.C. Listen to this. Perhaps tomorrow, perhaps in 5 years, maybe 13 centuries, a wonderful thing will happen. The people, men and women, shall drink the water of baptism, and God will be all in all. I think it's happened through the cross, through the resurrection, the helper's presence in our very lives. God, help us to see it and to share it anew, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Alleluia. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. We give you praise and thanksgiving, Almighty God, that you do not leave us or forsake us, but come to us and all the world by your Holy Spirit working through your word. By his help, we worship and glorify you and take continual refuge in your great mercy and grace. Abide with us and keep us close to you, that we may share in your great life and love. Lift up your whole church in the Spirit of Christ, and especially those you call and send, who give us your gifts of forgiveness and your word of truth. Be with us always with your mercy, protection, and love. Grant your blessings to all in the authority of government in our nation and throughout the world, that we may lead peaceful and quiet lives, godly and dignified in every way. Comfort all who are in sorrow or need, sickness or adversity. Have mercy on those to whom death draws near. Bring consolation to those in sorrow.
Especially in our prayers this day, we are remembering Kenny Fudge and his family who mourned the death of Jim, whose service was today in Chester. Let us pray. O God of life, God over death, we thank you for all of your gifts to and through Jim all of his life, and especially mourn with Kenny and his family as they face life without him, but celebrate life that was in him, eternal life that is given through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Also this day, we are remembering especially Lillian Alberta Schroeder, who is hospitalized in Sparta and near death. And we're also especially this day remembering from our continuing prayer concerns list, Alan Uteman, who tomorrow will, Monday, will be admitted to the hospital in St. Louis where he is due for an extended stay. Let us pray. Thank you, O Lord, for your gifts of Lillian, Alberta, and Alan. It is easier to pray for them knowing the great faith that you have planted in their hearts, which is so visible in their lives. And so we ask that you would heal them of your goodness and mercy in body, and failing that, that you would remind them and all of us that all is well with their souls. Lord, in your mercy. We're praying with students of St. Mark's Lutheran School, especially the graduates who were graduated on Wednesday evening, and then also students and parents and chaperones who are attending the Illinois Lutheran Championship track and field meet this weekend in Chicago. Let us pray. Thank you, O Lord, for the gift of St. Mark's Lutheran School. Especially, we thank you for this year's graduates, Claire Elizabeth Bowie, Destiny Maria Beckley, Elisha Ray Easton, Addison Cole Furman, Casey Noel Hassebrock, Tarek Lee Ogilvy, Callan Caroline Wrights, Dalton Michael Rickenberg, Megan Alexa Schulte, Samantha Lynn Schulte, and Adrian Elise Vallet. We thank you for the knowledge and love that you imparted to them at their time at St. Mark's, and especially the knowledge of your love, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who we know goes with them as they move onward in their education and general life, causing them to shine for you. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you for safe travel, and we pray for a demonstration of your good gifts for all those who are at the track meet, especially for Samantha and Adrian and Eli and Evan and Carter and all of the chaperones and parents, not just from St. Mark's, but from Lutheran schools throughout the state of Illinois, who gather to celebrate your gifts to them physically and spiritually. Lord, in your mercy. Also, we're celebrating with Rodney Anderson, who will be baptized tomorrow morning here at St. Mark's. Thank you, O Lord, for the gift of holy baptism, not just at this font tomorrow morning, but all of Rodney's life where you have been with him, and for the rest of his life, you promise to be with him with your good gifts of forgiveness and love. Lord, in your mercy. And on this Armed Forces Day, we're especially thanking God for the members and friends of St. Mark's who serve in the military, but of course, those throughout the world who do that. Let us pray. Thank you, O Lord. You protect us not only by your holy angels and your Holy Spirit, but through them also, through men and women who serve our country so bravely and valiantly and loyally. And so we thank you for them, especially as we name them Justin Asbury, Casey Vallee, Andrew Grab, Corey Jeffers, Richard Thompson, Tim Eikenseer, Justin Parker, Denny Ernsting, Kevin Carre, Ethan Pierce, John Magalitz, Zach McGovero, Rodney Anderson, Bill Ingalls, Matt Krause, and so many more known to you who give lovingly of their time and gifts and service. Protect them by your gracious and almighty hand and help them know how much we love and appreciate their service so we can enjoy free worship of you. Lord, in your mercy. Keep us in fellowship with all your saints and bring us at last to the joys of your heavenly kingdom. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hallelujah.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. With thankful hearts, we give you praise, gracious Father, for renewing and strengthening our baptismal faith by your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ and of his resurrection. Because he lives, we will live also, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Hallelujah. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Hallelujah. Amen.
Christ has arisen. Alleluia. Rejoice and praise him. Alleluia. For our Redeemer burst from the tomb, even from death dispelling its gloom. Let us sing praise to him with endless joy. Death's fearful sting he has come to destroy. Our sin forgiving, alleluia. Jesus is living, alleluia. For 3 long days the grave did its worst, until its strength by God was dispersed. He who gives life did death undergo, and in its conquest his might did show. Let us sing praise to him with endless joy. Death's fearful sting he has come to destroy. Our sin forgiving, alleluia. Jesus is living, alleluia. The angel said to them, do not fear. You look for Jesus who is not here. See for yourselves, the tomb is all bare. Only the grave cloths are lying there. Let us sing praise to him with endless joy. Death's fearful sting he has come to destroy. Our sin forgiving, alleluia. Jesus is living, alleluia. Go spread the news, he's not in the grave. He has arisen, this world to save. Jesus redeeming, labors are done. Even the battle with sin is won. Let us sing praise to him with endless joy. Death's fearful sting he has come to destroy. Our sin forgiving, alleluia. Jesus is living, alleluia. Christ has arisen, he sets us free. Alleluia, to him praises be. Jesus is living, let us all sing. He reigns triumphant, heavenly King. Let us sing praise to him with endless joy. Death's fearful sting he has come to destroy. Our sin forgiving, alleluia. Jesus is living.